Welcome, friends. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. It is the 16th of October, 2017, as we record this conversation, meaning it's just over a week since the release of Why Big Oil Conquered the World, the follow-up to How Big Oil Conquered the World, the completion of the Big Oil documentary project, which, if you haven't watched, please do so. It's, of course, now up for free viewing, listening, and or reading at CorbettReport.com/Big Oil. It's available in every format imaginable, so I hope you do get that, watch it, read it, study it, use it as a resource, spread it to others. That's what it's there for. And I hope you can appreciate it is a pretty large task in constructing something like this, and obviously it couldn't be done by myself alone, certainly not with my hands full these days with a family and all of that, so I am blessed to have the creative talent and input of Brock West, my video editor there in Australia. Brock, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, James. Thank you for the kind words. And yes, kind of stepping out of the haze of Big Oil 2 now, it's been good. It's been about 3 months solid of nothing but Big Oil 2 and editing and re-editing and going over things. And it's been quite an epic journey, but it's really exciting to see it. To see out this brainchild of yours out into the free world now. So
yeah, well, exciting, a relief. This is a depressurization phase for sure. Yeah, it was 3 months of solid work for us, the last 3 months, but 2 years of preparation for this on my side, including preparatory research, and then I did the interviews that became the backbone of this. I did 6 months ago, and there was months of preparation for that, and then months of dealing with that, and then. And then I started from into the script and sending you these little nuggets here and there. You have a very unique perspective on this work, because most of the audience just appears one day and there it is, and they watch it all in one go. But you have the privilege, the honor of seeing my first scratchings at an attempt at putting this together, and you get these little nuggets here and there in brief spurts, and then you go to work creating the visual imagery around that. And as I say, an incredible job of that. You're obviously upping your game and your skills with regards to the software and the technology. And I haven't said it to you personally yet, but let me say it on air here. The intro, I love the look and the feel of that you put together so brilliantly well. It sets such a great tone for the piece that I think really helps. But as I say, you have a really unique perspective on this. So I'm curious, I'm interested what this project looked and felt like from your perspective as you were getting these little pieces day after day after day and sort of seeing the picture starting to form. How did that come over? How did that come across to you? What was your way into this material?
Well, with regards to the introduction, it kind of initially just felt like a revamp of How Big Oil Conquered the World, the first documentary that we made together. And then as soon as we got into part one, The Rise of Eugenics, I realized how darker turn the documentary was going to take and how serious it was, the kind of path we were going to go down towards. Not saying that the first documentary wasn't dark, but this is really the hard agenda that you were trying to get across here in the second part. You know, the whole point is that it wasn't actually about oil to start with. Oil was just a mean to an ends of this eugenical agenda. So that was pretty confronting. Of course, we've all heard about eugenics and everything in the past, but you went into it in such deep and dark and in intense detail. So that was a little confronting.
I remember at one point you were looking up, what was it, like marriage license certificates or something, and you were finding the images of this, and I remember you being impressed that this is, you know, this is real. This is where this stuff comes from. It's from this eugenics background that, of course, we don't think about at all in our day-to-day lives these days.
Exactly right. Another part that comes to mind was when Richard Grove was talking about marriage in medieval times. So I was looking up images of marriage and childbirth and everything in medieval times, and there was some quite confronting images that I was looking at, you know, not all of which made it into the final cut. But yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say it's difficult, but it is definitely, the content we're talking about is confronting, but hopefully the end result gets the point across clearly and concisely.
Yeah, and that brings up another detail of this, is that I'm doing this research and trying to put it into words that'll convey the imagery, but of course you're coming up with the actual imagery. So in a sense, you are duplicating almost all of my research. You have to find the images of all the things that I'm talking about. So you have to dredge up all this material. In a sense, you know this material back and forth, front to back, at least as well as I do, because you've been digging it all up and digging through it. Was there anything really surprising that came out at you from this?
I would say definitely the whole technocracy agenda. I'd heard your interviews with Patrick Wood and, in fact, had edited them up previously. But just the depth and the size of it in the United States during the 30s, 40s, and 50s and 60s was quite staggering. And, you know, to see. And then I happened to stumble across some interviews with Howard Scott, and then this had all old Technocracy Inc. footage and of the gatherings they had and of them all saluting. And yeah, it was really quite startling to see how huge it was in the United States back that all those years ago, and how it now continues under the climate eugenics agenda. So that was pretty surprising.
Yeah. And that's such an important point, because so much about this documentary that I think is important is that this is real history that really happened, that really still affects us today, even if we don't understand that history, that most people, including myself, even a few years ago, wouldn't have known about this entire part of history. It's just been completely occluded from our attention. But there's this vast material well there that's hardly even acknowledged, that hardly anyone even knows about. And yeah, when you start scratching the surface, all this stuff starts coming up, and it's quite confronting when you see it all and start putting it together. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Well, any highlights? Anything? Was there any part of this documentary that you particularly enjoyed working on or were particularly proud of?
I guess I'm always proudest of putting the conclusion together, and you know, as people will see, there was a kind of rewind scene where I'd gone from where we are now to all the way back to the Rockefellers and Wild Bill Rockefeller. So that was kind of a nice little, well, not nice, but that was a pretty profound moment when I was editing that up. That like, wow, we're really coming to the end of this for now. I'm sure there's going to be more, and I'll drop a little nugget here that you. We already are working on follow-up podcasts to this, because there was so much information that has been left on the cutting room floor. So people can look forward to that. But yeah, putting the conclusion together was pretty fun. Fun in terms of editing wise, I got to really expand my creative abilities. So that's always good. But I mean, the whole overall thing, I really enjoyed pushing myself and challenging myself this time around. Hopefully it's come through from the first documentary to this one. There is an improvement. Definitely the intro, that came together rather easily, to be honest. But yeah, I was really happy with how that turned out.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, yeah, they work. The intro and the conclusion, I think, are great bookends and really do set the tone for the piece. So excellent work as always. And I'm looking forward to continuing this. And we have already received high praise indeed. In fact, as we record this just a few hours ago, no less a personage than Vivian Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick's daughter, tweeted what a brilliant and powerful documentary this is. High praise indeed, especially for a video editor like yourself, beyond Stanley Kubrick himself coming back from the grave to compliment you on your video editing. What could be better? Except it seems Vivian believes this is an audio-only documentary. So, Vivian, if you're watching, there is a video component to this. You might want to check out and give some props to Brock as well. but anyway, it's nice to have that kind of feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I will just say I have received some quite a bit of positive feedback about my editing about it. So thank you to everyone for that. It means a lot. James, thank you once again, as always, for putting me on this project. It's been... as you say, it's a mammoth task, as you say, over 2 years of preparation on your behalf, and then just the 3 months solid of you and I working back and forth to put this together visually for everybody. So I'm really excited that it's out now. And as you say, people, spread the word, get it out there. I've already had a few viewings with my friends here in Australia, and they're mightily impressed. Even if some of the information does go over their head a little bit, they say they are going to watch it again because it is so jam-packed full of information and incredibly important information at that.
Yeah. Well, when you condense a decade of research into an hour and a half. It's funny what'll come out. And yes, so as I say, this is now available for free viewing at corbettreport.com/bigoil. It's also available as a DVD, which can help in that process of spreading it to other people. You can have viewing parties. Someone in the comments section, one of the Corbett Report members, was saying that he took the Federal Reserve documentary and gave it to his library, and they lend it out to people, and he says it gets checked out often. So that's an excellent idea, and he says he's going to do it with the How and Why Big Oil DVDs as well. I highly encourage that. Copy them, spread them, whatever. Do whatever you can to get this information out to as many people as possible. That's why it exists. And of course, it also exists because people do support this work. So again, $20 plus shipping and handling will get you a copy of this DVD delivered anywhere in the world. It's a two-disc set, both How Big Oil and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, available in one DVD package. So Brock, thank you again for making this possible, and I look forward to doing the next big documentary project, but maybe we'll take a little breather before we get started on that.
Yeah, let's get to the end of the year and Christmas and stuff, and then we can start thinking about the next one, because boy, oh boy, this was day and night for me in the shower, driving my car, nonstop thinking about Rockefellers and eugenics and technocracy and Maurice Strong and everything.
Tell them what your catchphrase around the house with your cat is now.
I can't even remember. But
you like to quote Prince Philip, don't you?
Yes, of course. The Prince Philip quote, I mean, this kind of burrows into my head because I do have to go over these clips over and over and over again to get them just right for the final cut. But I would literally walk around the house talking to my cat going, oh, there's a growing human population. And just, you got to really drop that lower jaw. You know, you got to really drop that lower jaw.
You've got that one. You know what one stood out for me that I sometimes quote to myself?
Which one?
Thank you very much, Maurice. Anyway, let's divest our psyches of that unpleasantness. And once again, thank you for the work, and thank you for all the people out there who are helping to spread this. That's the only way we're going to help make a difference, is spreading this information around. So thank you to all of you, and thank you again, Brock.
Thank you very much, James. See ya.
Available now from CorbettReport.com. Oil. The 19th century was transformed by it. The 20th century was shaped by it. And the 21st century is moving beyond it. But who gave birth to the oil industry? And what are they planning to do with that power in a post-carbon world?
To an oil fortune join the divestment drive.
There is a price to carbon in their future.
The negative impact of population growth.
That is important, not only for the planet, it is important for the business.
What do you see as the biggest challenges in conservation?
The growing human population.
How and why Big Oil conquered the world. Watch the documentary for free or purchase a DVD copy at CorbettReport.com/bigoil.